Okay, hi everybody. So I want to talk about the UCI, that's cycling's governing body, and just how unbelievably flaky, what a lack of conviction they have when it comes to their transgender athlete policy. It wasn't that long ago they changed it. So I want to talk about that. Just let me say first is that I apologize to people who watch my channel. I promised a lot more of these short videos and they just haven't really happened. But I've got everything set up again now, so expect more videos again. So recently, quite a few governing bodies have changed their policies. There was the ultra flaky IOC who changed their policy to sort of mindless, everybody decide for yourselves, but don't assume that males have an advantage. Even though, like, it's n nothing could be more apparent in sport than the fact that across almost every single sporting discipline, biological males have an advantage over biological females. It beggars belief. I mean, that's the equivalent of saying every sport, just dissolve the male and female categories. Have everybody compete together for a bit and see how it pans out. Effectively, they were ultra flaky, but World Athletics and World Aquatics, what used to be called FINA, they've changed their name the same as World Athletics did from the IAAF. They've both took a harder line than was expected, I think, and they've took a position where they've said, no, we're drawing a line in the sand. The purpose of the female category is to segregate one group from another on the grounds of biological sex, because that's where the advantage lies, right? That's the point that we're trying to differentiate. It's not about gender identity, so that's where they've drawn the line, and I think that's very sensible, and I think that's a good starting point. Maybe there may be some events where they walk that back in years to come, because it can be shown that if you suppress your testosterone, your exogenous testosterone for a period of time, that it removes all those advantages and then that's fine. But I think that was the right starting point. The UCI, not as flaky as the IOC, but still pretty flaky, in my view. They simply instead reduced or made more stringent the requirement. It was originally 5 nanomoles, less than 5 nanomoles for 12 months for trans woman to compete in the female category, and now it's less than 2.5 nanomoles for 24 months. Okay, that's what they did, and they said, well, this is based on our understanding of the science, and we're constantly evaluating the science, and blah de blah de blah. I'm not quite sure what that evaluation of the science consisted of. It looks a little bit skewed. I think it's based upon the fact that, well, if you're under 2.5 nanomoles, then you're very much in the female range. But yes, in those terms of the science, but we know that having a body that's gone through male puberty and having a body that has trained with that testosterone in the male range for years or decades, all those advantages are not removed, right, when you just then suppress it down the line. It's almost like, yeah, we're following the science, but just selected bits of science and not all the bits. So, look. What has happened as a result of this is that a trans woman called Austin Killips has won a race. She's won a stage race. The tour of, I don't know whether it's the Gila or the Gila in, I think, Mexico. It's a UCI 2.2 race, which means it's the sort of lowest level of the UCI classifications, but it is still a UCI classified race. So it's still a high level race, but it's not World Tour level. It's not the highest level that they classify. But nevertheless, it's a bit of a big deal. And as a result of that, the UCI has just sort of immediately said, we're going to reopen a consultation. We're going to relook at our policies. Now, look, I've kind of got a sort of slightly ambivalent, dissonant feelings to this, because on the one hand, I'm pleased they're doing it because I think their original policy was poor and I think it needs revisiting. But it wasn't me that signed up to that policy. You'd like to think if they sign up to a policy, if they create a policy and said it's based on the science, that they have some confidence in that policy. The mind boggles that you can create a policy, right, so that you think that trans women are competing with biological females on a level, And then the very first time a trans woman wins one of your competitions, you shit the bed, quite honestly, and say, we're going to have to have another look at it. Right. I mean, what level of... So what were they envisaging? Did they think at this level no trans woman was ever going to win? One presumes not. They held open the possibility. So, but what confidence can you have? I mean, I'd assume they had some confidence if this was like the 10th win of the year or something, and it'd be like, oh, this is looking a bit awkward. But this is one win. This is one stage race that's been won, the first one, and immediately they've lost all confidence in their policy. They're not standing behind it. They're not going, no, we based it on the science and we think the science is good. There's nothing's changed since they wrote that policy, right? I mean, I can only believe this is where the cynical part of me, maybe the realistic reading of the UCI comes in, which is that they're full of shit, quite honestly, which is that they didn't have any confidence in this policy, that they kind of know that trans women would still have an accrued advantage as a result of going through male pubertal development and training with male levels of testosterone for a number of years. But they just kind of, let's just shut our eyes, cross our fingers and just hope we're going to take the path of least resistance and just hope for the best. And then the best hasn't happened. And now they see that the path of least resistance has shifted a bit and they're going to try and shift with it. And that's just no way to run an international sporting organisation. OK, thank you for watching. Bye for now.